No Joy Division fans here.
Alright, that works. I've been recording, so hey guys, welcome to another episode of Two Wheels and Some Tools. My name is Ben, and I have a cold, but I'm joined with Rich, Dan, Jen, and Kenrick. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Yeah.
Welcome.
We have a new member in the ranks today, Rich. Why don't you introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Alright, I am Rich.
Thank you.
And... I got my first scooter in 2008 upon graduating from college. It's a Stella. And I just picked up a CB360T and a 1975 Bajaj T-Tech, which both need a lot of work. And my Stella.
Awesome.
Also needs some work.
Welcome.
Alright.
So today's podcast, we want to talk about Philadelphia scooters here. Picked up Royal Enfield motorcycles. I want to ask Dan a couple questions regarding why did Philadelphia scooters pick up the bike?
Why not?
Why not?
We had to.
Yeah, but you guys sell scooters.
Right.
And now you're selling motorcycles.
Well, the Enfields kind of fit in with, you know, a lot of our scooters are retro. We got like the Stellas and the Simbas and stuff like that. And then the retro thing is popular in the States. So we sell a lot more retro bikes. And the Enfield's a nice smaller motorcycle. It's not fast. It's designed to cruise at 70 all day long. It's not much bigger than a scooter. It's not bad for riding around town. So it kind of made sense. There's no other Enfield dealer in Pennsylvania. So it's kind of, in my mind, it's like if we didn't do it, someone else close by was going to do it. And I'd been wanting an Enfield. Yeah, I'd been wanting an Enfield. Kenrick raises his hand. I've been wanting an Enfield for years and years and years. Easily, I've been wanting a military one specifically for at least 6 years now. So it's kind of like, let's do it. And then we finally had one customer, a good friend of ours, Joe, came in and said, here's some money, order me an Enfield. So we became a dealer. Here we are.
Good job, Joe. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe. I owe you a beer.
Yeah, several maybe. So guys, we've all seen them. What do you guys think?
Want one?
You want one?
Yeah. How long have you had that?
Mine came in last Tuesday, and then the other three came in the week before. So it's literally been like 2 weeks.
So how would you describe the look, since we were all audio, not visual here?
Well, it's basically the Enfield Bullet, and hopefully we post links to these. The Enfield Bullet, it was, you know, came out in like what, early 50s. So, and they've been making them in India since like 1955. So it's almost the same bike looks wise. They've obviously changed it a bit, and it's got a modern fuel injected engine. But it's kind of like the Stella. It's always like been good for a person that wants a vintage scooter, but doesn't want something that's actually 30 or 40 years old. Same thing with the new Enfield. It's like, oh, here's an awesome looking British bike from the 50s, but it's not, you know, 60 years old, and it's got a modern power plant in it, and it should be a bit more reliable and stuff like that. So it's pretty awesome.
Modern-ish.
Yeah. Well, it's a unit construction engine. It's fuel injected.
Yeah. Well, they changed the unit the past year, right?
The unit construction engine came out about, I think it was like a year and a half ago. Yeah. Before that, they had iron bore, you know, 500cc. Then they went to what they called an AVL lean burn, which was some aluminum thing that was kind of intermediate. And that was a step up from the old iron one.
I mean, isn't that just what they're selling to the U.S., though? My understanding
No.
is they have other things, like ones with German engines in it, things like that.
I don't know what they're doing overseas. I know this engine is available overseas with the fuel injection.
Oh, okay.
And all that. So I think this is the way that they're going pretty much down the road.
I remember something a couple of years ago. They had one with like a German engine.
I have no idea.
Because like you were saying, I've been looking at toying the idea of an Enfield. I just don't have the money to be a dealership
right.
or anything. That's
right. And we had to jump
insurance.
Through a lot of hoops to get them. When we looked at it, last time we seriously looked at it was probably about 3 years ago. And, you know, you used to be able to buy just two bikes to start to become a dealership, and then, you know, kind of get them as you go. And then this time they're like, oh, get six. And we're like,
I mean, the closest people I can think right now are like in, I think there's maybe one in Wilkes-Barre, but I think New York is the closest.
I don't know if there's any official dealers anymore aside from us in Pennsylvania.
According to the website, we're the only people in Pennsylvania.
There might be some service centers or guys that used to be dealers, but as far as like...
Well, they're tricky about being just a service center too.
Right.
Well, I got some questions about it.
Yeah.
So if it's designed to cruise at 70 miles an hour all the time,
right.
Do you feel comfortable taking it on the highway for longer trips?
Well, for me specifically, I've got about 120 miles on it, so I'm still breaking it in. So highway is off limits for a while.
Will you get there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It feels solid. I
put about 110 miles on it in the past week, and it's been raining. So it's really only like 2 or 3 days of actually riding it, just bopping around town and doing Kelly Drive and stuff. So
yeah, Joe was talking about he was doing.
He's got 300 some.
South Jersey.
Yeah, he's got 300 some.
Took it over the bridge and said that it was a really solid, comfortable ride. I don't know. It's all fun. He has to compare it to, I guess, is his scooter.
Yeah, he went right from his first bike was a Stella, and then he went to an Enfield. So, but he's loving his. It's pretty awesome.
As a dainty lady of only. A stature of only 5'2", it looks size-wise very compatible with kind of smaller and larger people. You know,
yeah.
I don't look at it and think, oh, this is a motorcycle that I'm going to have trouble with, you know.
No, you shouldn't, and you should sit on one. The C5 has a lower seat height. It's got 18-inch wheels and that solo seat, but they also offer a 3-inch lowering kit. So you can put in shorter shocks and shorter springs on the seat and bring it down to a 3.
What is it, about a 28-inch, 29-inch seat height?
Yeah.
Ben and I,
like that.
When they first came in, we compared them, and they were very similar in height to the Stella. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Stella's a little wider, so that you're I find I'm more on tippy-toes on the Stella than I'm on the Enfield.
With the wide floorboard and everything.
Yeah, a little more flat-footed.
That's kind of what I like about it. It's not so wide.
Yeah,
I'm a big butt.
You know, I got a 30-inch inseam, so... and I'm pretty much flat-footed except for on the B5.
Did you hear that, ladies?
No.
I want to ask Henrik, as our resident British motorcycle guy. I mean, what are your overall thoughts on it in terms of the looks, in terms of the classic styling, and after I guess the ride?
Honestly, I was never in love with the look of the Royal Enfield, like that style. I love the later ones.
Right.
When they got into the 60s, they improved their style. If you like, it's a 50s bike that looks more like a 40s bike.
Right. That's why I like it.
It reminds me
of like a World War II.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you see British soldiers riding around.
Yeah, yours with, I thought not, yours is black or camo.
It's green.
Or green.
Yeah, it's an olive green.
I mean, that green. Looks typical. Put some, you know, stenciled serial numbers on the side.
Mm.
And... I mean, I
did get a crowd splitter for the front fender. So
there you go. So it's like, you know, the look I'm not in total love with, but
you feel it's pretty
she'll
true
grow
to
on
the
you.
It's true. It's true to the look. It's true to the look. It doesn't rattle as much as an actual old one, because you would get a lot more like metal rattling as you'd go down. I did notice a
Give it time.
Bit. I guess it was the headlamp nacelle that sort of rattled on me when I had it out. And when you get that bike vibrating, when you get it up at the upper range, it vibrates a bit. And it's just the headlamp. But generally just, you know, it's a heavy bike when you're standing still with it and you're getting it off the center. It's a fairly heavy bike. But once you get it rolling, it behaves nicely.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'd like to. I mean, too bad we're in South Philly, where getting to 35 means you have to do it within 100 yards.
And, yeah, well, and you know what's nice about riding around South Philly is it's not hard to ride around.
The one difference
streets.
With me, you know, taking like my old Triumph down here with drum brakes is that front stopper stops.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing. I can't use the rear brakes on bikes that shift normally. Because I'm messed up with that. Because I mean, well, no, it's because the modern brake foot is my shift foot, so I'm trained to like, you know,
shift whatever. Shift with the right.
Yeah, I shift with the right and brake with the left, so it's really messing me up. So I just use the front brake, and I'm used to being able to touch the brake fairly hard and roll into a stop where that thing really grabs.
Yeah, it actually stops.
And for a city bike, it's nimble enough and it's peppy enough to get to that intersection. Because, hey, it's Philly. People jump on the gas. The light isn't even green yet, and you're going through the light.
Yep. And it's a 500 single, the thumper, so it has that torque where, you know, you got to be careful. If you jam it too hard, you're sliding off the seat a little bit.
You start out doing a right or a left at an intersection, and you're taking a turn, you know, you're taking your turn, and you're in first, and then you start leaning straight up and hit that throttle in second, and you're like straight up, and you take off.
Yep.
Yeah, that's why I like the B5, because it's got kind of that two-tier seat, and then as a driver, if you gas it, it throws you to the back of that little swoosh in the back of the seat, and it holds you in there, but it's kind of nice. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, wait until you get on a single with real horsepower.
Right. Well, that's another reason why I like this bike, is I'm not looking for something fast.
Yeah.
I don't need to go 100 miles an hour.
If they claim, I haven't gotten to take it at over 50 for, you know, I got 45.
That's not bad. 12,
you know. I had to stop.
Not bad in South Philly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if they say it'll cruise at 70, you know, there's some good gearing going on there. I mean, that's, you know, not shabby.
Right.
Because that's sort of the top end.
I think they're touting like top speeds like 82 or 85 miles an hour or something. And these things with the fuel injection, they're tuned pretty much for economy, and emissions. I imagine there's a way to get in there with the mapping and richen it up a little bit.
Well, the big thing with taking a big single on the upper end, like say you take it over, you can get it to do 85,
right.
90. But the problem you're going to run into is there's not enough oil going into the top end to keep it from seizing up on you. Which
that's why you keep it to around 70.
Yeah.
Have you noticed any fuel economy? What your kind of mileage? Rough.
I got roughly 100 miles before the light came on, started flickering, and the light, apparently it says you have 0.7 gallons left. So I think it came out to around 45 or 50 miles to the gallon on that first tank.
It's not bad for break in.
No,
plus city riding.
And that's city riding, on and off. So I think they're advertising around 75 miles per gallon. But I feel like I'm
about
probably
45, 50 is what I've gotten on like 500 singles.
Right.
Well, 440 singles.
Yeah, and I think with the fuel injection stuff, it's probably is going to be closer to 60, 65.
Yeah.
Depending on how I drive it. And once it's broken in,
I'll probably
drive the shit out of it and get, you know, 50 miles per gallon. But, you know.
I mean, the fun with this single is when you're doing something and you're out in this country and you've got tight and twisty hills that, you know, you go down a hill, make a sharp turn, and then, you know, you can use the torque of the engine to go through the turn and up the next hill, and that's where they're really fun. And I think this will be a fun bike for that. Yeah. Well, I'll see you at the shop, Mark.
So far, you know, I've taken up Kelly Drive twice. Once it was at night with a lot of traffic and headlights, and my visor was all smudged up, so I decided to get it off real quick because I couldn't see where the hell I was going.
Nice.
But the first time, I had up like 55 mile an hour or so, and it was handling pretty awesome around those tight little turns. So.
Well, you don't have a pillion on there, so you didn't...
No, I do. No.
I was going to ask you how two-up is.
I don't know yet. It's on back order.
I had to bring my wife and my brother around my neighborhood a little bit, and it wasn't that...
Your wife doesn't count. She doesn't weigh anything.
My brother weighs a little.
Okay.
He weighs
almost
as much as me. Rufus is really noticeable.
One heavy.
Yeah, and that wasn't too bad. We took a little bit of curvy roads in my behind my neighborhood, and I was very surprised how it handled, and even with 300 pounds on there.
Sorry, there was some sketchy looking guy. Anyway,
okay, all right.
Great.
Looking at
nice. Out there. One nice thing I noticed about the Enfield is that they have quite the catalog of accessories and parts out of the box. What you can do to customize your bike and make it kind of your own. what are your plans for your bike, or what do you think of their selection?
The first thing I did was I went into Indian eBay and ordered a wraparound front crash guard from India in black, because I got the military one, so I'm trying to get rid of all the chrome, kind of like how I did on my Stella. Chrome does not belong in a military bike, so... So we'll see when that shows up. The shipping was somewhere between 1 week and forever. So it's on the slow boat from India. That was the first thing I did.
Is it a boat or a raft?
It might be a raft. I'm not sure. It might be a flying carpet for all I know. So, the first actual real thing I did to the bike, we just got our first shipment of accessories in yesterday, and I put the 7-inch headlight conversion into it, which is pretty much what everyone else has. And in the United States, they put a, what is it, 5 1/4, something like that? The small headlight. The one you rode had the small headlight on it.
Oh, okay. I didn't think it was shabby.
It's all right. On my bike, I was driving down Kelly Drive and realized that my headlights is you know, I'm like spotting airplanes with it. And I tried to adjust it the next day, and it really didn't adjust down much. So I took it out the next night, and it's still pointing up in the air. And I put the 7-inch one, which doesn't – it's not DOT. Don't tell anyone. Mm. It doesn't adjust, but actually when I was just out there looking at it, it actually points at the street now. So it should be pretty awesome.
That's nice.
You put a little bit fancier bulb in there too, didn't you?
I put a little fancier bulb. What is it, Philips?
It's a Moto Vision or something?
Moto Vision. It's a 60-67 watt bulb. And it has a slight weird orange tint to it. The light coming out of it is white, but it tints your reflector orange. It's supposed to differentiate you from other vehicles coming down the road to make you more visible, which we'll see if that works. I have that in my Stella.
Might just weird out other drivers.
We'll see if you're hit next week.
Well, yeah. That's the whole thing. It weirds them out, and they actually notice you. They see, what's this orange, bright, white light come down the road? And, you know.
It's,
you know,
like those bright blue airplanes. LEDs that come from behind me, and I just slam my brakes.
Is that what it is?
I'm like, old BMW driver.
Yeah.
Do we know if those bulbs are considered DOT? Yeah. I mean, I guess they have to be sold.
They are. Yeah. And actually, the bulb that came with the 7-inch conversion kit was an Indian copy of a Bosch bulb, and I actually had a 7-inch, not the bulb, but the actual lens and reflector. I actually had one that was waiting to go into my van. Like a headlight conversion kit for my van actually came with motorcycle bulbs and lenses and reflectors. So I was like, well, I have this nice actual Bosch one. Let me put that in there instead. So I put that with a fancy bulb. So I haven't driven it yet. I'm podcasting instead of riding my bike right now. So
we appreciate it, Dan.
Yeah.
Painful, sir.
Yeah, I do have the rear pillion seat / rear rack coming in. That's back ordered. I also ordered the upgraded pipe. It's supposed to give you a little bit of boost of a performance. That's back ordered.
An EPA kind of?
I don't know if it's for reals or not. I doubt it, because they rarely are. But
you know, we could bring it in here. You could sit on it while you podcast.
Yeah, I could. You could just sit here and rev the engine
right here,
and then you can hear it thump 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 through the floor.
I'm sure for whoever's listening, that would be a magical sound.
You could suffocate on the carbon monoxide.
Yeah.
But I put black mirrors
on it. Open a window.
Yeah.
It's fun.
But there's more stuff coming down the road. I got a whole big list of things to do to Joe's bike when it comes in.
What is Joe doing to his bike?
He got the B5, which comes with old school tires on it.
Classic tread?
Yeah. Pretty much just like little ridges. So he's going for these Avons Roadrunners, which are come on a Cafe Racer. It's supposed to be a bit more sticky performance-wise. They're actually rated to like 130 miles an hour.
But they're the newer tread?
Yeah, they're the newer tread. So they don't look right, but they're actually, bike won't come out from
under
you.
So he's got like what, the Dunlop style?
I think they're still Avons, but they they're the ones that have the straight ridges going down them.
The Speedmaster on the front?
I don't know. Yeah, they like to catch.
It's got the ribs.
If you go on a groove road, it likes to really catch them.
Yeah.
they look neat. They look cool shit.
I don't put that shit on.
Yeah, no. So he
put real tires on your
he's
bike.
Getting real tires.
What it looks like.
He's getting real tires. He's getting the rear rack that extends. He's getting a diamond crash guard.
He's the one with the 19-inch.
Yeah, he's got the the B5. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, 19 inches is a pain in the ass to find a rear tire.
Yeah, well, that's what
an odd size.
I always do the Bridgestone Spitfire. I think they're a decent tire for the older machines because they fit pretty well. But yeah, I don't think they do a 19 rear.
Yeah, well, he's got the Avon, and it's a Roadrunner or Roadrider. They aim 26, I think. But you know, people are going to be bored listening to this. So
yeah. If you really
Avon is what they threw on every frickin' British.
Well, it's British, yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's Dunlop and Avon were on every frickin' British bike. So you had your K70s, your Avons on there.
I'd like to encourage anyone who's really, really interested and wants to go into further detail about this topic, check out the Enfield forums through the Enfield website. Just we'll post a link, but in case you're not at your computer, you can Google Royal Enfield USA and then make sure you have the USA site because you can also easily get to the Indian site.
Don't go to RoyalEnfield.com. That'll take you to the Indian site. Actually, go there if you want, but just realize that you're not going to find out anything about the American bikes on there. Yeah, EnfieldMotorcycles.com is the U.S. distributor. So.
Yeah, so go on there, and then they actually have links to Enfield Gear, which is the whole catalog of all the parts they have available, and you can find stuff for old Enfields to new Enfields. Also, they have the links to their online forums, too, which you can go into great detail about all the all the accessories and parts and the tips and tricks of the bikes and stuff like that.
Yeah, and the new parts and accessories catalog is like an inch thick. So
yeah, it's a pretty
thick much stuff.
So you're saying they're servicing the old Enfields as well? They have an old Enfield?
Yeah, they have quite the catalog for old parts in terms of accessories. And,
yeah,
I call that competition. I'm pissed.
For you?
Well, you don't like the old Enfields anyway, yeah. So it doesn't matter.
No, I like the 60s one.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell them to stop selling the 60s stuff.
So, and then...
Here's a question for you. Like, with the Enfields, are they still English, or are they metric?
They're metric.
Ah, that's fucked.
You know, my center
yeah, yeah, no, actually, I have tools that fit this bike. Yeah.
Do you guys,
it's Indian metric, so we'll see.
Yeah, Indian metric.
We'll see once we get inside.
I am there when you need Whitworth tools. I'm
the one.
Is that what the other standard was called? Whitworth
tools? Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking if they started making them in India in the 50s, the dies and tools they were using.
The old stuff was up until.
I'm just curious.
The AVL engine, I think.
When was that?
What, 6 years ago or something.
Okay, so they
I think it was still...
Well, I mean, it would make sense if they converted to metric, because it's more universal system.
Right, and the rest of the planet's doing it, so...
Yeah, despite the fact that my metric tools are sparse, and...
should really stock up on those.
Screw that.
The wave of the future. I can't remember the last time I pulled
adjustable
out
a wrench,
tool that was like,
a pair of vice grips, you got all
7/16ths.
Show up in my shop with a metric bike, you get...
Yeah.
No. Better fit a 9/16. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, when we were taking them out of the crate, you know, have to unbolt certain things from certain things, and you're like, oh, is this a 17? No, it's a 16. Well, not really. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, I just figure tooling is such an expensive thing, and if they're doing certain things, you know,
right. Well, I mean, you know, the C5 chassis frame, all that is brand new, and this engine's brand new as of a couple years ago. So I've you know, everything's metric now.
Yeah, it makes
for
sense.
Reals. So the modern, you know, facility and everything they're building them in. So
is it totally revamped?
Yeah. Actually, when we were thinking about getting Royal Enfields last, we had a customer who originally wanted an Enfield, and then he decided he wanted a Ural, and then decided he was going to get a Stella with a sidecar. So I was doing research on this, and YouTube the Ural factory video, and then YouTube the Enfield factory video, and see which one you'd rather have. The Ural one, it looks like it's straight out of like the Cold War era. You get the old Russian woman putting spokes on a wheel in a dark corner.
And eating a potato.
Eating beets and potatoes and looking miserable. And then you get to the Enfield one, which is like all guys in like white shirts and everything's clean and shiny, and like, and it's like, wow, they've really come a long way.
My favorite part of Enfield advertising is that they actually advertise the fact that they have two guys that are brothers that pinstripe every single bike.
The pinstriping video that's out there.
It's only two guys.
It's two guys.
Brothers. Guys in like a shirt and tie years. Pinstriping.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And you can look at the bikes.
Maybe you want to wear a tie to work just for the fun of it. I should show up in a suit every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to start doing that, too.
Irish
go to the bakery in a suit.
If they get paint on their tie, they can just pinstripe the rest of it.
Right.
And you have a nice little design. Yeah, so... Yeah, it's good times.
I'm just curious. I mean, that's what... The whole tooling thing is what killed the British industry. They were using Whitworth into the late 60s
and they refused to change.
Yeah, and their tooling was from, pre-war.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, so it's like... Yeah. It's good to see they took the British style and design and have modernized it.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, the C5 and everything was and the G5 were actually designed by British design firms.
Were they?
And stuff like that. So are they British or Indian? Yes.
I think right now the other cool things, if you're into the cafe stuff, I want to say it was called the Badger or something like that. Some people have custom. I can't go.
Oh,
go
you
on
silly
to bike.
Honey Badger, you.
Oh, I was gonna make that joke.
Come on.
Oh.
So yeah,
let's keep this meme free for a little bit.
Actually,
okay?
That's a terrible idea. They sell an actual cafe kit.
Well, these guys went and customized it themselves. A place I want to say they're up in New York. Look on Bike Exif, see there. What it was. Look up Royal Enfield on Bike Exif see that. And they just released another one or an update to it, too.
I know upcoming from Enfield, the rumors are they officially announced that they have a desert camo or desert military bike.
Yeah, desert military.
Which is a very khaki color. So just imagine the military model, but in khaki color.
Yeah, it's like sand.
I mean, khaki was a bad idea for pants.
I think
let alone a bike.
They're calling it the Desert Storm, and it's like a sand color. So it's a sand version of
the
military bike.
It's the bike you ride on casual Friday.
Right. There you go. It'll
with
match
your polo.
Khaki pants.
And they're coming out with a blue denim one, I believe. No.
The other rumor I heard was that they're coming out with possibly a 750 twin. That's the one that Sean keeps talking about.
There's rumors of a 700 or a 750, and that it may or may not be a twin. So we'll see, because the old Interceptor was a twin. So
that's some nice
Sean
stuff.
Was saying, "Oh, I hope it's the old engine." And it's like, well, I doubt it would be the old engine. I imagine it'll be kind of like the 500 they have now, just the twin, you know, fuel injected and all that modern stuff inside.
Should be interesting.
How large can you go with a single cylinder?
I think there's 650s out there.
Okay.
Did BMW have a...
I thought there was like a 900 out there.
Sean's Savage is a 650, isn't it?
That's a 600 or 650.
Yeah.
I mean, there
might be a 900. I mean, that...
8 or 9, I thought there was one out there.
It's possible.
Kind of silly, but...
I mean,
some Japanese thing, you know.
I know the big diesel trucks, there's 1 and 2 liter cylinders.
Oh, that's the other thing, too, with the Enfields. They used to be able to buy a diesel engine to put in there. And for every stroke, you went like 20 feet down the road. And, at like 3 miles an hour, but it was like thump, thump, thump.
And you could run kerosene instead of diesel.
You could run whatever the hell you want in this thing.
Vegetable oil.
Yeah.
The original diesel was meant to run on like peanut oil or something. So.
Yeah, I just read that on Reddit the other day.
There you go.
So, since we're on the topic of motorcycles, Rich here recently picked up a... Honda CB360T.
Yeah,
how's that go? I mean, I guess it was sitting for 10 years.
Yeah, under a tarp.
Stands for tarp.
T apparently is a late model.
Tits.
I just learned that. I downloaded the shop manual for it, and there was an addendum saying, CB360T late model. There's like slightly different things with that one. Yeah, I haven't done too much with it yet. I got a key made for it because there was no key.
How'd you do that?
Took it to a friend.
Take the whole bike or just part of the bike?
No, I just took off the ignition, gave it to him. He came back with the key. Unfortunately, the key's not the same as the seat lock and the headset lock.
Who uses keys?
People who want to go places.
People
actually own the bikes they're riding on.
Yeah. And then what else did I do? I cleaned it up first before I even got a key because it was pretty dirty. Pulled the gas tank. There was some really nasty gas, quote-unquote gas in there.
Stunk so bad.
Yeah, it stunk up my whole garage.
Turned back into dinosaurs.
Which is, yeah.
You had it on the back area behind the shop here, and it was wafting in through the doors.
Which was nothing compared to how bad, my garage is attached to my house, and my roommates were complaining
about
the terrible
smell. For future reference, when you're pulling a gas tank, do it outside.
Yeah.
too late.
Didn't think there would be anything in there, but I guess I should have known better.
There's an easy way to do it. You pull the fuel hose off the bottom of the tank.
Yeah, I did that, and that's and
nothing stuff, came out. Oh, stuff came out.
Yeah,
and you spilled all over the floor.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I got
and
most
he was
of it.
Throwing
I
caught
all on the same page.
Yeah. What else? Yeah. I can't really, get.
How's it running
on the car?
Yeah, have you ridden
it's
it
not
yet?
Running.
No.
Yeah. Pulled the battery, which was obviously dead, and
so there's more to do.
Oh, there's a lot more to do, but it shouldn't be too bad. I mean, the pistons move, so that's a good
yeah.
start.
Good sign.
Yeah.
Sean said last time he had it running 10 years ago, it was running.
Sean had
wait, this was
running.
Sean's?
Yeah, it actually he'd given it to his sister who never rode it,
and that's where
and
he got
it. Was sitting under a tarp, and then.
Oh, so it's been
it
in the family.
And sold it to Rich. So,
okay.
Kendrick, as a motorcycle guy, do you have any tips or advice?
Well, I mean, in the scooter thing.
Getting it up and running, or what would you do?
You know, the 360. It's funny. Like I've, everybody like under 30, it's like, oh, the 360. And I have these guys come into the shop, who were actually teenagers, or I mean, I was what, freaking 6 or something when this came out. These guys who were actually teenagers when this came out, and they're like, oh man, that thing was a piece of shit.
Really?
Of course.
See, yeah. I get mixed, whenever I talk to people, I get mixed reviews about it.
The one thing a guy who comes in the shop a lot was telling, because I had, I actually had, what's his face with the 360?
Bart have a 350 or
Doolittle. George Doolittle.
Yeah.
I had George's bike in the shop, and he came in and showed me one thing. Take a look. You've got your VIN number on the engine. Take a look for stamps above and below. Like, if there's 2 stars above and below, it means there was a big recall on certain ones of them.
And it's going to explode.
And when the engine was recalled, Honda put stamps above and below.
Uh-huh.
It's one of these things I had no clue about.
Like little stars, or
I wanted the recall.
Yeah, they're
active.
like asterisk, like star
could you
stamps.
Still get your money?
Yeah, you take it back and get it rebuilt.
Take your Honda. Yeah, I'm here for that recall. 1976.
What's the time limit on that?
So, what was the recall about?
There was some engine internal issue.
I don't know.
Fun.
More work for you.
Yeah.
How many miles do you have on that thing?
I forget. I think
some.
Something like 2,000 or something like that.
Is that the 6-speed one?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean...
It'll be a fun
I don't know what the hell it's really going to do, but...
Yeah.
I mean...
They're a neat smaller bike.
I mean, the thing with the Honda... I mean, I know the 350s, like the CB and CL 350s, better than the 360s.
Right. Well, the 360s tend better.
But I'm bumped.
Yeah, well, like... the 350 was like a 345... And the 360 is like a 354.
Right. 356.
356.
Round up.
Ooh, round up. All right. So the 350s are solid bikes. I mean, you can't shake stick at them. I mean, they work well, and they perform better than British 500s that were coming out at the same time.
I wanted a Honda CB for the longest time, and then all the hipsters got a hold of them.
Damn,
and
like
then...
Rich.
And then they all decided they wanted to cafe him out, too.
And then they all wanted cut-off shorts, and you don't want that either.
God damn it.
Okay.
Now I've got an Enfield.
Let's go on a side topic, because here's one of these things, like, I get a bike, and if I get a bike in, and it's more than 90% there, more than 75% there,
right.
It would pain me greatly to start chopping the frame or doing any of this shit. And I'm sorry, like...
Well, most of these assholes don't chop the frame or anything.
Well...
That's too much work.
Well, no. See,
drop bars on it and
no,
a cafe
seat. They're chopping, shit. They're throwing out shit. And to me, it's sometimes it's that frickin' tinware that they go and get rid of. that they don't realize how bloody priceless. You know, frames, you can get a frame. You can get an engine. Suck.
Let's get rid of them, and they throw the fenders away, and they throw all the...
Or they'll cut the fender, or they'll paint stuff
a beautiful tank.
Or, repaint a beautiful tank.
Some of the tanks are... Even with a little sun fading on them, the colors that change...
Yeah, and to me, an original condition bike is always worth more.
And I want
to
blame... I have not seen the show, but that... Because I'm a cheap ass and I don't get cable.
The Cafe Racer show?
The Cafe Racer show.
I actually do watch it. It's actually a fun show.
But, okay, do they take perfectly good bikes and do shit to them?
Most of the ones I see, they take wrecks out of, scrapyards and shit.
Like us, they can't afford a nice bike. They buy a wreck and then they actually make it work. Yeah,
to bring
it
back to Philly, I saw our buddy Scott Siebert on the last episode of Cafe Racer. I think he was at Ace Cafe in England. And they were They were talking about... is it better to buy an old, 50s or 60s bike and cafe it out, or to get a modern bike? You know, they were talking about that sort of stuff. And most of the guys were like, yeah, I like the older bikes, but I want to make it there. So they're doing more modern bikes.
You know, it's one of these things, if you can do the work, and you can have... I mean, the problem is people want an old Norton, and an old Norton's not necessarily going to get you there.
No.
But if you compromise and get an old BSA that's a much more reliable bike...
Yeah.
Sorry, Norton people. Opinion here. But an old BSA is going to get you there much better.
But they're also talking about the trends. Like back in the day, it used to be going fast, handling, and all that, and actually racing them. And now it's more of it's a style... They like the style, but they want to get there. So it makes more sense to get a more modern bike and make it look like an old-school cafe bike, but it's modern and reliable, and it gets you there. It might not be the fastest and the best handling.
I'm in the old shit, and I'm sort of a purist about it. To me, getting a CB350 or CB750 and cafeing it, bullshit. They're taking it, they're putting chrome. It's as bad as the Harley billet crap.
They put a square tank on it, they drop the bars, they put a short little tiny seat on it.
You know, you put drop bars on it and you call it a cafe racer. I could do that to a Vespa.
They actually make them.
You know, oh, it's a Vespa cafe racer, you know?
Yeah. That, to me, I mean, if you do
that
it
would
to,
be more
if,
fun.
If you do it
I,
to an old
I give you
series,
more props for that.
Our buddy Walt's bike, man, he's got drop bars.
Oh, his bikes are freaking nuts.
Have you seen his new rear tire? I swear to God, it's inches as wide.
Oh, my gosh.
It's ridiculous. I don't know how he fit it in there.
Yeah. Well, no, he took it was the whole thing had to shift.
Yeah, he had to cut the engine and move it over and put spacers on the other side. And he's got this, I forget what size it is, but you look at it and it's like when you look at those drag bikes.
I think it's a 120/90/12.
Something weird. I think it's still a 10 inch.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's still 10 inch.
It's still 10, but his bikes are fast and he rides the shit out of them.
Oh, he does, yeah.
And that to me is like when people make fun of scooters and stuff, it's like, well, my bikes all do 60, 70, 80 miles an hour and 10-inch wheels, and I'll blow the doors off you from a light.
I know somebody who was going to me. They said to me, they're like, you know, the other night I was coming, because Walt works in a restaurant, so it's 2 in
Lincoln
the morning.
Drive or something.
And they're going home, Lincoln Drive, towards our way. And they're like, yeah, I got next to this scooter. And he just hauled off and left me behind.
Yeah, that was him.
That's Walt.
That's Walt.
I'd say my brother built a cafe out of a Yamaha XS500, and he did a really nice job. And I'm going to show a photo here to Kendrick and just see what you think.
My only
everything
problem
on there he did himself, but other than the chroming on there.
My only problem is, I mean, it looks actually. I mean, have you seen it in person? He made it look pretty, and then he made it run.
Yeah, that's the
did it backwards.
I mean, see, here's the thing: is traditional cafe ravers. they drill a lot of holes in their stuff and do ecstasy. So
nice.
That's why they're cafe ravers.
Yeah, no, traditional cafe racers. I mean, what you were doing is you were taking off as much as you could. You're doing things like you're drilling your shifter. You're drilling your arm for your brake. You're drilling, you're trying to take off as much weight as possible. And then you're putting an alloy tank on and all this candy apple coating that people are putting on their bikes and the chrome and all this other stuff. It's that's stylizing and it's personalizing it.
Yeah.
But don't put on – the, you know, the no, the like the fastback rear kind of thing and tell me it's a cafe racer right. just because you put a different seat on it.
No,
that's called yeah. putting a different
strip
seat
it down
on
to
it.
A frame, put a seat and a tank and a headlight on it, and there's your cafe racer.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I mean, exactly. it's more styling. My brother's bike is more styled as a cafe other than a real cafe.
Well, the old cafe racers are what they call a rat bike now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean that's true.
It's stripping it down to get it as light down, yeah. and fast as possible. What my brother did is, to be honest, there's a shitload of Bondo on there in terms of get those knockouts. But you know what? They did them. My dad helped him out with it, and he did everything by hand. He put those. They took a tank, and he actually literally banged it in, and then Bondoed it up to match. And
I give props for that better than you know, like, taking to a shop and telling them to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's another thing.
You know, and he did it all himself, well, with the help of my dad, and it is very pretty in person. Don't get too close to the paint because he did the paint job himself, but. For what he did by himself, I mean, his first paint job ever, it looks pretty phenomenal.
It's good in that
and the
picture.
Thing is, a couple years from now, he's going to redo the paint.
Right.
He's going to get better at it. And I think the point, the catch is with this kind of stuff, is why don't you show me a picture and have me try to talk at the same time?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm not dissing anybody with their ability, with their desire to go in and change stuff up. But I think we've, to me... There's a distinction. It's like right now, like everything's a freaking bobber.
Right.
Or everything's a freaking cafe, yeah. It's like cafe racer,
as long
bobber,
as they're not
chopper.
All choppers.
Well, it's like chopper means you chopped a frame. Bobber was the American version of the cat. In America, they were bobbers. In Britain, they were cafe racers.
Right.
Because they were doing the same thing here. They were cutting off the tail ends. They were chopping off a bunch of stuff, and they were dirt tracking them and stuff like that on the weekends.
And for those who don't know what a cafe racer is, it originally started in England. They would race from one cafe to another, or meet at a cafe, race down these country roads, and race back. And whoever got back first would be the winner. And that's how the whole thing started. Ace Cafe is the big one, and
yeah,
they got
that
reopened.
Was one of the big
yeah. And that's the one everyone always talks about and has patches and stickers and t-shirts, but, it was all over the place.
Nice.
Yeah. And yeah, here it was leather jackets and over there it was like army jackets and stuff, I think.
Well, no, it was leather jackets.
Was it? It turned into leather. Yeah.
I mean, but what we're looking at with both those groups though, I think it was like that post-war mm-hmm. crowd. Come back.
Yep.
And you've got this generation of people who just got off of war. And
yeah,
they're like,
they got
what
done
the hell do I do now?
Killing people and flying airplanes and stuff. And they're like, what do I do in my life? I'm going to go back to farming.
Adrenaline rush.
Yeah, what the hell would you do if you came back from flying a Spitfire every freaking day
right.
on like 5-10 you know, missions or whatever they flew?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you've got to go to an office job.
You strip your bike down and go as fast as you can.
And there, more people had bikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had to. You couldn't afford a car.
Yeah.
So, guys, wrapping up here on...
Wow, that died quickly.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I
mean... It's really sorry. Somber
notes.
Womp, 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 womp.
I want to...
Support your vets.
Support your vets, yes. Wrapping up here on 40-ish minutes, I want to thank you guys all for listening, and we're going to prepare for our next recording. Signing off here for Two Wheels and Some Tools. My name is Ben. And signing off for Rich, Dan, Jen, and Kenrick. See you later.
Adios. Yep.